You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Hold one. Arm drag.
Don't tell me.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hit the Books All Out Review. I am Ryan Knightsey, and with me, as always, is my boy, Mikey Manfredi.
What's up, everybody? What's up, Ryan? I'm excited. This is a good pay-per-view.
Yeah, right? Coming off the heels of United Kingdom having two outstanding pay-per-views, AEW responded with their own amazing pay-per-view.
Dude, I missed the tag match that everyone said was good because I turned it on kind of late. But, oh my God, Walter versus Tyler Bate was probably one of the best matches I've ever seen, period. Like,
yeah, I haven't yet watched NXT TakeOver yet, but of all the things I've heard about, it was an amazing pay-per-view. But that's the review. That's the only review we're going to give towards NXT today, Mikey.
Yeah, today we're focusing on AEW.
AEW's All Out, taking place in Chicago, Illinois, August 31st, Sears Center Arena. Mikey, overall thoughts on the show?
I thought it was pretty good. Still some production issues they got to work out. I don't know if that's they just need to hire another producer, director, or something. But they are still having some pretty rough production issues, especially in those battle royals. They got to really tighten it up there. If they want to keep doing them, it's just
top down, honestly, production issues. And that's something that you and I have talked about earlier in past shows. And, we sort of said that, like, okay, they're a new promotion. This is, a new show. They're figuring it out. So we've sort of given them some leeway here, Mikey, but we're now at the point of, like, this is their fourth show. TV is around the corner, which I know is sort of being run by TNT to an extent. But, there were of course, camera cuts and camera shots that were just not great. There was pyro. There was incorrect pyro. There was wrong graphic bugs for wrestlers. There was incorrect names for wrestlers by the announcers. Are your thoughts on these production
issues? The announcers, by JR, period.
Well, JR is calling Jungle Boy Jungle Jack, which I texted you. I was like, I get it. His name's Jack Perry.
But still,
they're saying, like, Jungle Jack. And Jungle Jack's sort of a cool name. That way you can also capitalize on the Perry name, sort of. But, his name isn't Jungle Jack. It's Jungle Boy. It's not changed yet, so don't do that. But then what I was referencing really was the ring announcer saying a small boy, a boy, and his dinosaur for what was apparently called Jurassic Express. Apparently wasn't told to him on time. Jimmy Havoc graphic bug comes up for Darby Allin. Apparently, the Pharaoh incident, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah. The poor doggo getting scared.
Yeah, apparently, according to Cody on Twitter, he tweeted about it.
The pyro wasn't supposed to go off.
Or the wrong pyro went off.
Mm-hmm.
It was whatever. I'll say the tweet later, I guess. But there was just a lot of production issues. And honestly, it felt like there were more production issues in this one than there have been in the past. Mikey, how does this, all these production issues, do you think bode for TV on October 2nd?
I think if they don't clean it up, they're going to start losing people. And like at first you were giving them some leeway because it's like a new show. But it's like, listen, if you're going to do All Out, which sounds to me like it's probably going to be like their WrestleMania type show.
Mm-hmm.
They need to really step it up for future pay-per-views and future TV. And they need to do battle royals. I don't like the way they do battle royals, but that's just another thing.
Yeah, the battle royal issue is like entrances for the entrance and everything.
I just like, don't like that they enter in groups of five. Like, I think that's silly.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole point of a battle royal is to like get a bunch of people in and let you pop for their entrances, you know.
Yep.
But you can't do that if they come in with four other people.
The only person that feels special is the Joker, which, you know, Mercedes Martinez did get a huge pop for. But I guess let's talk about that right away first, Mikey. Let's start with the buy-in for All Out, which was, of course, the Women's Casino Battle Royale.
Mm-hmm.
Which had such entrances as Ally, Awesome Kong, Bea Priestley, Big Swole, Brandi Rhodes, Britt Baker, Fabi Apache, Eva Lis, Jazz, Leva Bates, Mercedes Martinez, Nicole Savoy, Nyla Rose, ODB, Penelope Ford, Priscilla Kelly, Sadie Gibbs, Shaza McKenzie, Teal Piper, and Tennille Dashwood.
You know, I didn't even realize Tennille was there until I saw an Instagram post of her there.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the way the entrances are and how bad the camera is at catching it.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize she was in the match, honestly. And I was like, damn, she was there? How did I not even notice? And I was like, oh, right.
Yeah, she was there for half a second. So when I was, you know, thinking about, you know, giving my star, my meatball rating and whatnot for this match, I think naturally my mind wanted to compare it to the Casino Battle Royale that took place at Double or Nothing. And my conclusion was, and maybe it was, you know, the same sort of issues where it got hurt by production. But my thought was that this match was very similar in match quality. You know, it wasn't like the best thing. I mean, All In and All In 2 years ago or last year was an amazing battle royale. But this one, these two still haven't been that great for me. But honestly, the difference between the men's and the women's one in this part is that this All In Casino Battle Royale, it was more, I hate to say it, but like disappointing for me, if that makes sense.
It just felt sloppy and I was never really into it.
Both the over the budget battle royale at All In and the men's casino battle royale at Double or Nothing, for me, like both showcased talent that were not affiliated with the company and gave everyone an amazing time to shine. I mean, we're talking about entrances. I mean, even at the men's casino battle royale at Double or Nothing, you know, Sean Spears made sure he got an entrance, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was a couple other people that made sure that they got an entrance, a moment. And even then, there was people that made sure they got a moment. Orange Cassidy was a moment.
Mm-hmm.
No one in this match felt like they really had a moment, or maybe there was a time to shine. Of course, there were some moments, you know, like everyone trying to take on Nyla Rose, or the four-woman meetup of Nyla Rose, Awesome Kong, ODB, and Jazz.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I thought Jazz would have been a huge part of this battle royale, and that was, like, it for her. I felt like she was barely in it. And another point about the men's casino battle royale is that, like, it showcased people that weren't part of the company yet.
Uh-huh.
I think in a better light. Obviously, Orange Cassidy is one that stands out for me.
Well, I think that makes sense that they were showcasing more people that weren't with the company yet, because now that we're getting closer to TV, I think you want your own stars to shine a little more.
That's true. Yeah, that's a true point. I'm just sort of like, I want to showcase our talent, but also showcase new people. Because, I mean, Cody said in an interview that, like, they only have 40% of their talent.
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling me that's like, okay, then there's a lot of people in that battle royale that they could pick up. You know, someone that's like Priscilla Kelly, I felt like was no business in this match.
Yeah.
And yeah, I get that's a true point. That is a true point that they want to build up the people that they already have, but you know, gotta it's a showcase everyone. I want to. I don't feel like you. I feel like you need to showcase everyone if you're gonna do that. You know, Eva Lise, Priscilla Kelly, I felt like they weren't doing anything. And they were two women that I think would be great additions for the roster. Put Eva Lise with Santana or Ortiz.
Mm-hmm.
Priscilla Kelly obviously can work with her husband, Darby Allin.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's two women that could easily be additions to the roster. And I don't think they were showcased in any capacity in this Battle Royal. I don't know. I was sort of down on the Battle Royale, I guess. But Mikey, what do you think about it?
Yeah, I was sort of down on it too. I found myself bored a lot of the time. I was like what? I was kind of like whatever on it, you know? Like it was fine. It's usually hard to follow a Battle Royale, but I think it's even harder when the camera work is sloppy and the production is sloppy. And Especially when you're already like kind of not into it, it doesn't help when production is also kind of crappy. So yeah. I've kind of found myself like out a lot of this match, and I was just like not really paying attention, and I was just like, yeah, I'll just see who wins, you know?
Yeah, it left me more to be desired.
Yeah,
if you're talking, you want to name this pay per view All Out. This Battle Royal did not go All Out for me.
Yeah.
I gave this match a 2.25 out of 5 meatballs, Mikey.
I gave this match a 2 out of 5.
2.
Mm.
So, a couple questions I want to ask you while we're here talking about this. As someone that's prepping for the Mikey Indy 500,
mm-hmm.
what were some non-AEW women's wrestlers that stood out for you, Mikey?
Martinez, definitely.
Mm-hmm. She was presented as a huge-ass star.
Yeah, Priscilla Kelly for sure. Kind of, even though she wasn't really presented, I knew about her a little bit, and I kind of wanted to see more. Mm-hmm. Tennille, I noticed her there after the fact, like I said. But I definitely want to see her work outside of WWE, which mm-hmm. I know she did for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's about it. Like, there was a lot of women in this Battle Royal, and I honestly don't remember a lot of them. Not the fault of AEW, I guess a little bit the fault of AEW, but...
Yeah, I was going to say... Like,
I also just have a bad memory.
Yeah, and yeah, it's... But I would agree with you. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily remember everyone that was in here. Like, a year from now, I'm not going to remember this match. You know, yeah. it's sadly a forgettable match. I mean, so is the men's Casino Battle Royal, but maybe the Orange Cassidy spot will stick in my brain forever.
Oh. My
God,
dude.
A goddamn dream and a half. Another question I want to add. Well, yes, not really a question. I had the question, and then the answer was provided to me this weekend. Obviously, news broke out, according to Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful.com. He asked Tony Khan about the situation regarding Kylie Rae, and Tony Khan, of course, said that Kylie Rae asked for her release from AEW, and they granted it. It was very amicable, but it looks like Kylie Rae is gone from AEW. Mikey, as a huge fan of Kylie Rae, I can't imagine this was good news for you.
I was honestly... All of yesterday, I was, like, heartbroken. Like, I just was really sad about it yesterday. Like, I know she's going through her own stuff, and I hope everything's okay. But I guess I'm a little selfish because I really wanted to see her back because I think she's really, really good. She could have been a huge star, and she had so much potential. And I'm a huge Kylie Rae fan, and it sucks, honestly. It was rough.
Seeing her at Double or Nothing and, you know, seeing other independent drip matches of her, I truly believe that Kylie Rae could have been maybe the first women's champion.
I agree.
And I think maybe they could have been building to that. I don't know, obviously. No one does. But I was like, this is Kylie Rae is an amazing wrestler. She is easily probably like the next big star. She is very much like you could say a Bayley. I was going to say like a Becky Lynch Bayley combo sort of situation where she's just so great and such great a wrestler and has such a personality about her that it just makes you draw into it. She obviously, you know, she would have brought those demographics into the program.
Mm-hmm.
This young girl demographics into the program, but it's just like, it's a huge loss for AEW. But whatever Kylie has going on, obviously wish the best for her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course it was amicable. So, you know, we could always see Kylie Rae back in AEW.
Yeah, if it's not injury related or anything like that, and if it's not, if she's healthy and decides she wants to come back, she'll have a home.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited to see her. Excited to see her. I just want to see her again. At this point, I just want to see her again, whether, you know, independent wrestling or whatever. I just would love to see her.
I just
want to
hear
Kylie
something,
again.
Like, honestly.
Yeah, at this point. Let's move on to the next match in the buy-in, which was Private Party versus Angelico and Jack Evans. Of course, Angelico and Jack Evans took the loss here. Their third straight loss in AEW, and they were not happy about that after the match with a post-match beatdown on Private Party. Mikey, thoughts on this match?
Yeah, I feel kind of bad for Angelico and Jack Evans. Like, they're 0-3 right now. Like, that's rough. Especially against the Street Profits. I mean, Private Party. I don't know. I like both the teams. They both put on, I think they both put on a good match.
Yeah, I thought this was a good, solid match. You know, lots of high-flying moves, you know, showcasing both, all four talents that were in that ring. Going into it, I always knew it was going to be like just four dudes flying around the ring.
Yep.
Private Party had a couple of mess-ups, you know, in their footing and timing of different spots. I would still consider them green. So it's like, it doesn't, like, hugely take away anything from me, but it's also like, well, they're still, you know, working on and becoming the great, because I think they're like one of those, like, the next great team is Private Party sort of thing.
Yeah.
I love the angle at the end of the match. I think obviously with Dark Order being the only real heel team in the tag team division,
mm-hmm.
We obviously needed some more heading into TV, and Angelico and Jack Evans, I think, could easily be the next great heels of AEW.
I agree.
And they bring such a different quality, obviously different than the Dark Order, their spooky pervert mystery stuff.
We'll get to that later, but during the Dark Order match, the crowd was chanting spooky pervert, and I thought it was really funny.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful. A chef's kiss to that. But yeah, I love the motivation for it, where for the heel turn about that three straight losses, it shows that they care about their losses, their wins and losses, and that it frustrates. You compare it to their match at Double or Nothing, right?
Uh-huh.
Angelico and Jack Evans against the Best Friends. That match ended in a loss for Angelico and Jack Evans. But they were all able to shake hands following the match.
Mm-hmm.
Here, three losses in a row later, and Angelico and Jack Evans are like, why are we shaking hands? This is dumb. We just lost three times in a row. Screw y'all. We are the best. And Jack Evans obviously has the motor gun of a mouth. He's just like, we're the best. I'm the best in the world. We should be, you know, better than this. Mm-hmm. We are better than this. Screw everybody else. I want to win.
Yep.
I love that motivation.
That was definitely a good team to turn. For sure.
And they could easily, you know, they could easily have a first round matchup and they could lose it, and that wouldn't hurt their motivation
mm-hmm.
to be heels. So I was excited about it. I gave this match a 3.
Yeah, I gave it a solid 3.
Let's move on to the next match, which is not a boy and his dinosaur, not a short boy, a boy and his dinosaur, but rather the Jurassic Express.
The Jurassic Experience.
The Jurassic Raiders. The War Express. Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, and Marco Stunt taking on the team of SCU, Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, and Scorpio Sky.
Seems like they added Marco Stunt to eat the pin, huh?
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure. I have a weird theory that the tag team belt is going to be a trios belt.
Because they seem to be making a lot of those.
They're making a lot of trios teams. I mean, we got, obviously, Jurassic Express. We got SCU. We got, I guess you could say the Elite with the Young Bucks and Kenny.
But the Young Bucks can also be two if they need to be.
Yes, the Young Bucks, of course, can be two. I'm trying to remember the other teams. Obviously,
well, they had
Lucha Bros and Laredo Kid can be Team AAA. There was like another. We'll talk about it later, but potentially a new man and the Best Friends.
Yeah.
There's a lot of three-man teams that are building, and maybe that's a way to like showcase more talent on TV. You know, which is always a cool idea. But yeah, I'm interested to see what's the purpose for this. I'm not sure. But what did you think of the match overall, Mikey?
It was really good. Everyone had their moments. Every time I think Luchasaurus can't get more awesome, he gets more awesome. Luchasaurus continues to blow me away and just shine above everybody else in the match. Every time I've seen them wrestle, the end result was me going, damn, Luchasaurus is good. He is so unbelievably over and so unbelievably good. And I think a little, he outshined everybody a little bit, which is bad. Good for him, but I think
it's a good problem to have. Definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
It's obviously that like Jungle Boy is like the star they would love to push. But, like, it's a good problem to have where it's like, well, Luchasaurus is getting this huge ovations. And that sequence where it's just all three SCU guys facing him, and he's just kicking off their heads one by one into a choke slam on Kazarian, into a standing moonsault onto Kazarian. It is just, this guy is a future ace.
Yeah.
This guy is, I mean, give them the belt. I mean, I don't know. We obviously can have predictions on who's going to win the tag team tournament, but honestly, it needs to be Jurassic Express, probably.
I agree with you.
They're just sky's the limit for them, honestly. I thought this was a great match. Obviously, Luchasaurus's tail whips and kicks and all over the place. They're just the question mark kick, that fake out sort of thing. I just love. Pops me every time. Obviously, Jungle Boy had great stuff. Marco Stunt had great stuff. SCU had great moments.
Jungle Boy lost a bit of his hair.
He did, right? He had like it. I don't know what that like. It was a whole clump of hair that just got caught in that rope.
That probably hurt like hell. He probably went over that rope and was like, "Oh shit!
Oh jeez, my hair."
SCU's Celebrity Rehab is a cool move.
Yeah. I would love to see them use that more, honestly. Or even just like use it
I just love the name.
More.
I just love the name of it.
Oh, it's great. I mean, it is great. I think, you know, this was a great match. It was very reminiscent of the Strong Hearts, you know, SCU match that happened at Double or Nothing. A lot of the show felt like reminiscent of Double or Nothing. Almost like a mirror or, you know, continuation of everything from that, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, it definitely felt like, looking back on it, that Fyter Fest and Fight for the Fallen were sort of like the TV tapings, whereas Double or Nothing and All In are the big pay-per-views.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I thought it was a great match. I gave this 3.5 stars, or meatballs. God, what am I, Dave Meltzer? Throw out my paper over here. 3.5 meatballs. Mikey, what do you think?
I gave this a 4 meatballs. I thought it was really good. I enjoyed it a lot.
A big old 4 spicy meats.
Also, I do like SCU getting a win here also.
Yes, SCU getting the win here puts them at 2-2, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I should pull up my merit system. Why not?
Also, the build to this match was pretty funny. If anybody watched the Being the Elite before this, where they were all like doing different stuff, where all of SCU, like I think it was Christopher Daniels, he was watching, he was like his kid's T-Rex toy was tormenting him. Scorpio Sky was watching the Jungle Book. Frankie Kazarian had all the little like play kitchen and all the little, he kept going to Chuck E. Cheese and like the little things. It was really funny.
Yeah, to look at the rankings of the tag team division, SCU are now ranked number 3 with 2 wins, 2 losses, while Jurassic Express are 0-2 at number 7. Ranked number 7 near the bottom of this pile.
Damn.
Which honestly, that could set up a great story for the tournament moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you got what, 9 teams here?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe? Hold on, let me count this up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 teams here. 10 of which I imagine are going to compete in the tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think Jurassic Express is a great pick to win the whole thing, win the tag team titles. Obviously, of course, there's people like Best Friends, SCU, you know, Dark Order, Young Bucks that are above there. But, you know, honestly, give it to Jurassic Express. Make them go all the way.
Yeah.
I would much appreciate that. Let's move on to the next match, which was Kenny Omega versus Pac. Honestly,
this was earlier than I thought it was going
to
be.
Just about to say, did not expect this match to be second on the card.
Yeah, I was really surprised when I heard them announce it. I was like, excuse me? Already?
Yeah,
all right, I'm in.
This match is coming up next. What?
Whoa.
What, Excalibur? Take that back, sir.
Roll it back just a bit, excuse me?
Oh my god, but then we got it. We got Kenny Omega versus Pac. What a match, I feel like.
Yeah, that match was really good.
This
the ending was pretty sick.
Probably this, I believe, yes, according to my ratings. Yeah, I agree. This was my match of the night, personally.
Yes, I agree with my own ratings, yes.
Yeah, I had to look over my ratings to make sure I rated it properly. This was my match of the night, personally.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was a great match. I thought there was a great story being told. I have no clue if Pac got legitimately injured with his ankles or he's just a god at selling.
They really got to watch those fucking barricades, dude. They were too close.
The barricades are extremely close, which is like something they're adopting from Ring of Honor, which I'm like, guys, cool it.
You have a whole roster basically full of high flyers. Give them a little more room out there.
Mm-hmm. To his defense, I guess, he does work in Dragon Gate, and Dragon Gate doesn't have barricades, so he doesn't have to worry about it. He'll just go on a fan's lap.
That's fair.
But still, those ankles, oh my god.
Yeah. Kenny even got it a little bit earlier in the match.
Oh, yeah. The barricades were its own story being told during this match.
Yeah, they both got fucked up by the barricades a little bit.
Which make me think, maybe that was on purpose. I don't know. It's Kenny Omega and Pac. Who knows at this point? I thought that, yeah, this was my personal match of the night. I thought this was great. I thought it was a great showing. My conspiracy theory is way on my head because I'm not. I feel like Jon Moxley was never going to be on the show. Now I'm like looking back on it. The more I think about it, Mikey, I have so many conspiracy theories about All Elite Wrestling. About what they tell us and what they don't tell us. And I feel like Jon Moxley was never going to be on the show now that I think about it. But that's a conspiracy theory for maybe another day.
Interesting.
No, yeah, I got conspiracy theories at the wazoo. If you ask me, I'll start the 5-minute diatribe. But yeah, I thought it was a great match. You know, what do you think about it?
I thought it was a really good match. I enjoyed watching it every minute. I thought it was a good storytelling with Kenny Omega not being really focused on Pac. and kind of having his thoughts on Moxley. And that's what caused him to lose, basically. I guess spoilers, he lost to Pac knocking him the fuck out with a submission hold.
With referee stoppage. Great. That was, oh my God, that was not a result I was expecting, quite honestly.
No, me neither, but just watching Kenny just go down like that was like, watching Kenny go down and the ref ring the bell, it was like, wait, whoa, wait, huh?
Yes, it was like, oh my God, what just happened? I thought
when Kenny went down, the ref was going to jump in and be like, one, two.
Yeah.
And Kenny was going to kick out or something, you know? It looked like a pin attempt, but then the ref rang the bell and Kenny was out. And I was like, what?
It put over Pac as a huge threat.
Yeah.
Immediately. It put over the Brutalizer. It put over Pac. And it doesn't... By having the storyline be like, oh, Kenny wasn't completely focused because he wanted Moxley instead and was still sort of thinking about Moxley, it didn't really hurt Kenny Omega.
Mm-hmm.
Which that was a great way to save everyone at that angle, really.
I'm also into the Kenny Omega redemption arc.
Yeah, like he is really looking back at the merit system, Mikey. He is really, I wouldn't say low, but of, like, you know, all these people, I don't have a specific number. I think it's like 41 or something. He's like six. He's like number six out of 41.
Mm.
Actually, I should probably change up that numbering. He is in the mix with Jimmy Havoc and Darby Allin and Sammy Guevara. He is like mid-tier roster right now.
Yeah, I like this idea that he's going to like have his big redemption, you know.
Mhm.
And because it's also like he's not, like everyone has been saying, he hasn't been the same since he left New Japan.
Yeah.
And I think that's a part of the story where he's going to like basically find himself again. Like, he's going to find Kenny Omega again, and it's going to be... And he's going to go on, like, this tear, you know?
Mm-hmm. He has to find himself in the United States in this promotion. But also, it's a great way to get him away from the title for however long you can. Now, with, you know, with having this Pac match, you put over Pac huge, and Pac can now go off and... apparently, next up, Adam Page for Pac.
Yeah, go right back to Hangman, because they have unfinished business, clearly.
And going along that theme of unfinished business, you got Moxley for Omega right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever they want to do that, probably at Full Gear.
Yeah.
Just makes me upset thinking about Full Gear. We'll talk about that later. But you got Moxley. And then at that point, you know, if they do that at Full Gear, at that point, you know, that's potentially a couple defenses under the world champion's belt.
Mm-hmm.
I think then you got Kenny Omega and start making his way up, climbing up the roster. I mean, then he just has to defeat currently to get any sort of momentum. Defeat like people like Kip Sabian or Sonny Kiss or Jimmy Havoc, which I think are honestly three matches for Kenny Omega that on TV sound great.
Yeah.
Right? Kenny Omega versus Sonny Kiss would be a great ass match. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for where that goes to.
Yeah, me too.
I gave this match a 3.75 out of 5.
Yeah, I think I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Let's move on to the next match, which was the Triple Threat sponsored Cracker Barrel Clash, which Mikey and I have concluded that this match was just a Triple Threat that is sponsored by Cracker Barrel, not it's like a specific match yeah. that has no DQ and is a gimmick match.
Yeah. It's not like Nakazawa versus Jabali, you know?
Yeah, hardcore match. Yeah, we're not that one. That I mean, it's a triple threat, so it wasn't going to be disqualification anyways. So it doesn't matter. But this match was Jimmy Havoc defeating Darby Allin and Joey Janela. Mikey, thoughts on this match?
I'm glad Jimmy Havoc got a win under his belt.
Fucking finally.
Yeah.
This guy is like doing nothing.
He definitely needed it the most, I think.
Yeah. And it was the right man that was pinned, Joey Janela, in my defense. I don't think Darby Allin should get a pin at all right now.
Because Darby Allin fucking killed himself.
Fucking Darby Allin. Oh, my God. This match was... There were moments where, like, okay, so my girlfriend watches wrestling with me, and she is not a fan of the sort of staple spots, the thumbtacks, the pins, anything like that. She's just not, surely not a fan of it. And so she like sat down and like they came out, and then like Jimmy Havoc went to the outside, grabbed the chairs, grabbed the table. And she's like, okay, that's fine. And then he grabbed the staple gun. And my girlfriend is like, is this a match I shouldn't be here for? I'm like, yeah, you shouldn't be here for this match. You chose the wrong match to watch. And she's like, and then Jimmy Havoc stapled himself. And she's like, okay, see ya. And then left.
Yep. That makes sense.
I was like, and then she came back in and they were putting thumbtacks in Jimmy Havoc's mouth. And she's like, nah, I'm good. See ya.
Fun fact, my girlfriend actually video chatted me during this match and was also watching this match with me.
Whoa.
Yeah, I basically just had my phone pointed at the TV and I was like, yeah, this is happening. And every time he grabbed the thumbtacks, she's like, she's like, what are they doing? And I'm like, well, they're putting thumbtacks in his mouth. She's like, what? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, that's how it is.
I'm like, yeah, this is wrestling.
This is what it is. This is what we enjoy. This is what we love. Terrifying match, terrifyingly great match, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it was exactly what I expected it to be with these three.
Yeah, honestly,
with Darby Allin doing the caveman onto Joey Janela's back with the skateboard full of thumbtacks was pretty fucking sick.
Oh my God, that one was, I think, honestly, the spot that killed me. I was just like, I saw that, and I was like, oh my God. Oh my God.
The thing that really got me was that when after the skateboard hit Janela's back, it slid. Which was like, oh.
All of it was terrifying. I was like, I was sitting there like, no, please don't do that, Darby.
Yo, the most terrifying spot for me was when Darby fucking killed himself.
God, Darby, what are you doing, buddy?
He had to do the caveman drop. He should have put the barrel on his head. That would have been really funny.
That's what I thought he was going to do, honestly. And then honestly, I thought he was going to do that, and I was sort of disappointed that he did it.
Because imagine how fucking funny that would have been.
It would have been hilarious. That's why I was ready for it.
Put the barrel on his head, and all you see is his legs just go, whoop!
I was 100% ready and there for it. Ready, and willing,
Jimmy
and
moves
able.
Out of the way, the power breaks, and it reveals Darby Allin.
Yeah, that's a hilarious image. I'm so upset that didn't happen. But yes, Jimmy Havoc got the victory. He is now, I updated my numbers real quick while doing this. Jimmy Havoc is now number 6 out of 41. Congrats to Jimmy Havoc. And that put Darby Allin at number 10 out of 41 and Joey Janela at 11 out of 41. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, Jimmy Havoc, big victory for him, able to jump up. He was, what, 0-2? With just that victory, he's able to shoot up the roster?
Yeah, he really needed that. Considering the other guys are also 0-2, I think. I think Darby's 0-1.
Well, Joey Janela is 0-1 because none of his matches have counted so far.
Oh, right. One was unsanctioned, and then the other was a tag team match.
Mm-hmm. Well, Darby has a loss, but a draw as well. So he's sort of okay for where he is. I thought it was a great match. Honestly, you know, if you want to be terrified for a couple minutes, watch this match.
Yeah, if you want to be like, wow, these people are really doing this to each other, huh?
Yeah. I gave this match a 3.5 as well.
Yeah, that sounds about right for me. It was exactly the amount of hardcore I was expecting.
And won it. And needed. It turns out I was good at a certain point.
I like the Jimmy Havoc ending where he did the
Acid Rainmaker onto the barrel?
The Acid Rainmaker onto the barrel. I couldn't think of the... I knew it was the Rainmaker, but I couldn't think of the first word.
I wonder if that was, like, a botch into a success.
Cause I think it was, because like, it looks like he was going to do the superplex, but then he missed the barrel.
Yeah, it, like, he missed the barrel a little bit, caught it, like, the lip of it with Joey Janela's leg, and there was, like, you know what? Real quickly, Acid Rain... Because they're probably going to do the Acid Rainmaker right then and there, right? And they were like, and they probably called an audible and was like, Acid Rainmaker onto the barrel. And Joey Janela's like, awesome, I'll die today. And then, and then bing, bing, boom, Bob's your uncle. Let's move on to the next match, which was the Best Friends, Chuck Taylor and Trent, taking on the Dark Order, Evil Uno and Stu Grayson.
Mm-hmm. This match was fine.
Yeah, it was fine. It wasn't the best match. It was definitely near the bottom of the barrel.
I still don't think I'm completely sold on Dark Order.
Yeah, I'm starting to come around a little bit on them, but I think they have sort of the it's weird, right? Because they have sort of that Bray Wyatt disease. Mm-hmm. You know, where their promos are just nonsense words for however many minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're the spooky, and they have the spooky perverts and all that stuff.
Yeah, they got the cronies, like,
which of course, you know, the spooky perverts are gonna, you know, I think honestly that chant may get the crowd into the Dark Order a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it has this sort of weird, and I think it's also because they're just such a new tag team. I've heard it described from the guys of Everything Elite podcast, which, Mikey, I would definitely recommend to you if you want to hear about it. They definitely described it as, like, I believe it was them, or maybe their guests, I don't remember. But they described it as, like, if you are a fan of the Super Smash Brothers back in the PWG days, you're, like, you're probably going to be totally into them right now. If you're, like, a new person that has no idea who they are, it's going to take you a bit.
Yeah, and this, I think obviously, that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, and this gimmick obviously isn't helping with that, but, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully, eventually, you know, maybe we'll get into the Dark Order a little bit more. I guess what I'm saying is I'm optimistic. I'm open to the Dark Order as a thing, as a tag team. I don't want them to win the tournament, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want them, you know, to, you know, easily run a tear or something. Or I think... You know, maybe put them against Jurassic Express, you know, just to, you know, put them against a big face team to maybe get more heat out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have, they're presented as bad guys. I think the problem is they're presented as bad guys, but they don't have, like, enough heat as bad guys.
I agree.
And I think that's what the problem is. And maybe putting them with a big face team like Jurassic Express could help them out.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Give them, just put them against a team that's super over, get them some more heat.
Yeah, you know, bully Marco Stunt. You know, that's the easy thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested, but speaking of Dark Order, I'm interested in that what they seem to be doing potentially after matches with, I don't know if they'll do it again. Maybe it was just this one-time thing.
They tried to kidnap Trent.
Yeah, I'm really interested in why the hell they're trying to do that. Potentially as a new spooky pervert, which makes me excited that maybe they'll have a trios team with, I don't know, Trent or whatever, or, you know, some other third person that they defeat as a spooky pervert.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put some guy underneath a mask, make him, like, head spooky pervert. You know, then we got a trios team for Dark Order.
Mm-hmm.
Against potentially the new trios team of the Best Friends, the freshly squeezed friends, Chucky T, Trent Beretta, and potentially, apparently, Orange Cassidy.
All right, so...
Mikey, you have the floor.
This match, I gave a 2.5 meatball, but post-match, I gave 7. Because... When the lights went out, I was like, who in the fuck could they, like, the only person whose gimmick on this roster right now that I know does that is Dark Order. And they were already out there.
Yep.
So when the lights went out, I was like, who the fuck? And then it came on, and none other than Orange Cassidy was standing in the middle of the ring. I was sitting, so I was watching this match sitting on the floor, and those lights came on, and I jumped up and popped so hard. I was like, let's go! He's here! Fuck yeah! My dude! He's here! Ah! And I was so stoked to see Orange Cassidy. And then he just took out all the cronies. Like, it was, obviously, he made it look like no big deal, because that's what he does. And he gave it thumb, and when they hugged him and they did that quick zoom out, I lost it. That got me so good.
It is,
that killed me.
It was a match made in heaven that I never thought existed. You know, it was just like, I never would have thought Orange Cassidy and Best Friends, but honestly, what
now
a great
that they're
team.
Together, I want it.
It's beautiful. I actually think they teamed together on I vaguely remember a match on the independent circuit that was SCU versus Best Friends and Orange Cassidy.
Interesting.
But yeah, maybe Best Friends get a new name. Maybe they're the bester friends.
The best of friends.
The Fast Friends, named after Orange Cassidy's
favorite movie,
Fast Five. I'm there for it. I'm there for Orange
What's
Cassidy.
What's your favorite flavor of orange juice? Orange.
Pulp or no pulp? No pulp, duh.
Some pulp.
Oh, God. We're huge marks for Orange Cassidy over here. The match itself,
really
I gave a 2.5. Mikey already said your meatball rating. But yeah, the match itself was fine. It wasn't the best match in the show. I mean, it's a thing that I feel like I'm starting to realize about AEW is that, like, and I think maybe it's because a lot of it's new and a lot of it's new people going against new people, so the rivalries aren't really built up effectively yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the reasons why Cody Rhodes and Dustin Rhodes work so well is because they obviously have a history. You know?
Yeah.
They're brothers. But also that build on Road 2 was great.
Yeah.
A lot of these matches don't really have, like, build and stuff, but every match is good at the very least.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing, even the Women's Battle Royal, even this match, none of that was bad. It's all, like, good. Mm-hmm. So that's your baseline. And I think maybe the problem with AEW might get, in regards to Dave Meltzer's star ratings, or Hit the Books meatball ratings, is that, like, your baseline is good, but, like, even a good match for us in AEW could get 2.5 stars.
Yeah.
Or 2 stars. Which is, like, it's still a good, it's like, their bar to show me amazing is now incredibly high. And I think that's sort of bringing that New Japan stuff over to the United States, is the fact that, like, the wrestling is so good that when it's good, you'll know it's amazing and give it 5 meatballs. But, mm-hmm. like, even when it's, like, you know, just fine good, it's two stars.
Yeah.
Whereas a WWE match, 2 stars is like, okay, that's pretty crappy.
Yeah.
There were some moments, but crappy. But yeah, the bar has been raised, I guess. The bar has been set and raised time and time again in the United States.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the next match, Mikey.
Mm-hmm.
And that match was the Joshi singles match for the winner to take on Nyla Rose in DC for the inaugural AEW Women's Championship. It was Riho who ended up defeating Hikaru Shida with a roll-up.
I had no doubts that Riho wasn't going to win this match.
Yeah, sadly, I agree.
So it kind of took me out of it a little bit because it was like I never got the feeling that she was going to lose. So like I said, it kind of like it didn't ruin the match for me, but it definitely made me less invested.
Mm-hmm. I also feel like with Nyla Rose winning the Women's Battle Royal, it made more sense for Riho to win.
Yeah.
So it was because, you know, Riho pinned her in the triple threat.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just sort of like, okay, well, then that's your story, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sort of deflated, I guess, the match in a way. The match was still good. Riho is a person that just, her finisher is just a roll-up, apparently.
Yeah.
She's won 2 matches with it.
She's just so good at doing roll-ups that she just, nobody can kick out.
I'll be honest here, Mikey, and I guess me, apparently I would say this is a hot take according to everyone on the internet. I am not a fan of Riho. I'm not a fan. I'm not a huge fan of Riho. I don't really like her that much. I'm a way huger fan of Hikaru Shida.
Yeah, I'm not really... Like, I'm... Like, I kind of like... Like, I kind of like Riho, but, like... The fact that, like, she keeps winning with roll-ups isn't selling me.
That's a point that is that doesn't help me, is that she keeps rolling with roll-ups. It's... What makes her exciting, I guess, is that, like, she's someone that is resilient. And that's what they're building her up as, is she's a resilient person who, you know, will catch you on surprise of a pinfall right away, you know? And it's like, okay.
And who's been wrestling all of her life is another point they like to point out a lot. And that Kenny Omega likes her as his tag team partner.
Yeah, and that's all she is, right? she's got those four things. Oh, and she's 92 pounds, so she's fast.
Yeah.
But yeah, but it's there's multiple things. One, stop telling me she's 92 pounds. Honestly, I know 92 pounds falling on your stomach with a diving foot stomp probably still hurts, but when you're comparing that to, like, any other person, it sort of is like, okay, so it's the weakest one.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, that's just how my brain thinks, I guess. But then also it's like, I don't know. They're trying to present it, I guess, that she's been wrestling, obviously, for pretty much her entire life. So she has, like, experience. And so she's, like, winning over roll-up is experience and resilient and stuff. Because she was, like, born into wrestling almost.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, personally, I don't look at it as experience. I look at it as that she's getting lucky. She's being resilient, which is a good point, but I just feel like she's getting lucky. And yeah, I'm not a huge fan of Riho. I much would have preferred Hikaru Shida, but once Nyla Rose won the Casino Battle Royale, I was like, okay, so it's Riho.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, that's just obviously a very personal opinion, because apparently the internet loves Riho.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that, you know, you love Riho, that's good, that's good. I just don't. So that's that.
That's fair.
I gave this match a 2.75, Mikey.
Yeah, I gave this match a 3, so I'm about around the same as you.
Mm-hmm.
It was fine. Good match.
Yeah, there was nothing...
Decent enough.
Yeah, it did its job. I think... I don't know. I'm excited to see where it goes. I think, you know, the women's division needs something, it feels like, and maybe that something was... Kylie Rae. Moving on to the next match. Cody, Sean Spears. Thoughts on this match, Micah?
This was a good match. I enjoyed it. Cody's entrance was... Okay, two things. Cody's entrance was cool, and Cody's entrance was garbage. Cody's entrance was cool because that fucking walking down the hallway shot where he had, like, a person join him every... little bit was really dope.
Mm-hmm.
Where he was like, I think he was walking with, like, who was it? Billy Gunn? No, who was he walking with?
Are you talking about
DDP?
You're talking about when Brandi Rhodes was walking down the hallway with Pharaoh and then MJF and Diamond Dallas Page joiner?
Yeah. It was like he was walking down, like, DDP jumps in, then Brandi jumps in with Pharaoh, then MJF jumps off of his thing he was sitting on, and they're all in the Star Trek gear, and it looked really cool. And then poor Pharaoh got scared, and I got upset.
Yeah, that obviously is a huge talking point that came out of this pay-per-view and onto the internet. A lot of people upset, a lot of people not happy about it. Apparently the situation was that, you know, Pharaoh was there. Pharaoh was obviously, you could see Pharaoh the entire time, which also... production point, a little early on your entrance, Brandi and Pharaoh and DDP and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Why are they already on the entrance ramp? Just have them wait behind, and none of us would have ever known about this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or at least it could have been maybe better, because it would have been muffled slightly. But apparently the situation was that obviously Pharaoh was near the entrance. Pyro and fireworks went off. Apparently the incorrect pyro went off for Cody's entrance. another production point. That's dangerous if incorrect pyro is going off. It was it was like the mortar. I believe Cody said it was like the mortar fireworks, which was the loud thunder-esque fireworks.
Was also, real quick sidebar, was Pox Pyro late?
I don't know, and I don't think it was because you're right. I just remembered what I thought of it said. So I don't
think it looked like it was late.
I don't think it was late. I thought it was perfectly timed, and honestly, I don't know when it would have gone off otherwise. But I turned to my girlfriend when we were watching the entrances for this match, and I was like, you know, the fireworks for Kenny Omega don't really do anything for me because it's just like, oh, it's Kenny Omega. He's the greatest in the world, so it's whatever. But when Pac came out and the fireworks hit, I was like, Pac looks like a superstar with that fireworks setup.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, it's like the old adage of either the superstar makes the title or the title makes the superstar.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I saying superstar? Wrestler. Jesus.
All right. Also, I want to note in this match, Cody versus Sean Spears, Earl Hebner was the referee, correct?
Correct.
There, I guess I'll talk about it later, but there was this one point where Sean Spears kind of gets up in Earl's face and he gets mad and backs him into a corner and yells at him.
Yeah.
I just want to bring that up for now. Later we'll come back to it.
Okay. Okay. I'm interested to see where that goes, I guess. I thought this was good. I thought this was a good solid match, a good solid, a classic Cody match, He's a big fan of that old school Southern wrestling mentality. So there was lots of shenanigans by the managers or run-ins by people, sort of sketchy disqualification stuff. Fucking Arn Anderson dropping in an appearance. Dropping in a goddamn spine buster on Sean Spears.
Spine on the pine, baby.
Oh, speaking of my entrances, though, everyone talks about Cody's, but I don't think Sean Spears gets enough credit.
His entrance
sitting
was cool.
In that chair.
It was cool.
Sitting in the chair, I should say.
That was pretty sick, I will say.
And then he stands up, then the music hits. I was like, this guy's a villain. This guy terrifies me. This guy could be Dr. Doom.
Yeah, that was good.
Give him that MF Doom mask and, just sell him on me.
Mm-hmm.
God. It was a good Southern wrestling mentality of a match. Obviously, there's more to the story with, Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson, obviously, Four Horsemen. I've heard people talk about and rumors, and Mikey, obviously, I would love to hear your thoughts. Obviously, I think, and they teased it here, at some point MJF is probably going to turn on Cody, right?
Yeah, they definitely teased it hard when MJF slid in the ring with the chair.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cody turned around and he threw the chair away and hugged him.
Yes.
He didn't it wasn't like oh shit, you caught me. It was like, yeah, fuck this,
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. People have suspected, I guess you could say, dreamt of, and it's with Cody Rhodes, I could certainly see it as possible as a Four Horsemen stable, a new Four Horsemen stable, potentially Sean Spears, MJF, two other guys led by Tully Blanchard.
That would be cool.
It would be dope. I don't know who those two other guys would be. I don't know if you have any opinion on that.
I have no idea.
Yeah. They need an enforcer type. MJF would be the Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Sean Spears would be the Tully Blanchard. They need to get a new guy to come in to be an enforcer. And then the fourth guy, he was also there. And obviously it feels like maybe there's something brewing. There's a story that is being told that obviously we're in the midst of, so who knows where we're going with it. But obviously it's not over. It should be said, though, however, Mikey, to go back to, my numbers, my merit system and all that crap. With the victory, Cody is now ranked number one in the division.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Two wins, one draw. Oh, he's actually not tied. I take that back because he has a draw. He is now ranked officially number one overall in the men's division.
Yeah.
Two wins, one draw.
Zero losses.
So congrats to Cody. I said that this match was an unofficial number one contenders match in my preview for System Check.
Mm-hmm.
And with Cody winning, I think that's, you know, pretty certain. If I was a betting man, then, Cody against Chris Jericho is probably going to be your first title defense, and it's probably going to happen at, what, Pittsburgh or whatever, wherever that title is being defended.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that happening. You know, it's early on TV. Get two people that are Philly. Huge names that people already know who they are.
I think it's the show I'm going to.
Philadelphia? I think you're right, actually. You are right.
Which is cool.
Yeah, there is a high possibility, and I'll plant my flag now, that match will be Chris Jericho versus Cody.
Yeah, I could see that for sure.
I don't think it's going to be anyone else. You know, Adam Page and Pac are busy. I don't see Chris Jericho facing Kip Sabian or Sonny Kiss or anyone like that. Maybe Shima, but come on, I don't think so.
Confirmed it is in Philly. The first title defense.
Yeah, Cody makes the most sense. You know, he is the number one in the rankings right now. And that could be a great show. That could be a great match, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I thought it was a good match. You know, good, solid Southern wrestling style match. I gave it a 3.5 meatballs. Mikey?
I also gave it a 3.5 meatballs.
Let's talk about the next match, which was the Escalera de la Muerte match. Lucha Brothers versus the Young Bucks.
Yo, the Young Bucks fucking died.
Oh my god, that Mexican destroyer off the ladder through a table where he literally like landed on his neck. Like if you look at the slow motion video, it's like Matt is straight up on the, like, here's the table is flat. He is perpendicular to that table. Oh my god.
What about when Nick got pushed off the ladder and his feet hit the ropes before he went through the tables? That was terrifying.
Oh my god,
I
thought he was dead. Honestly, oh my Christ. Holy crap.
He didn't jump far enough and he caught his feet. I was like, dude, as soon as I saw his feet hit the ropes, I was like, oh fuck.
Oh my god, that spot. Like when he was getting pushed off of it, I was like, he's going to have to jump off the rope or something. He's not close enough. And then his feet hit the ropes. I was like, oh no. And then his head just like smashed against the tables. Oh my god, that was terrifying. This match was terrifying. Near unsafe, probably.
So, real quick, there's this post on Reddit, and someone posted, someone has an obvious physical advantage, and it's a disgrace they're even allowed to compete in their division. And it's like, oh, not another fucking Nyla Rose post. But then I open it, and it's like, Luchasaurus weighs over 2 tons and is a literal dinosaur. Why is he allowed to compete in AEW? And then the first comment is, you are Tyrannosphobic.
maybe that's why Marco's stunt is teaming with Luchasaurus, Mikey. Just to outweigh the 2-ton dinosaur with the 102-pound small man.
Yeah.
But yes, thoughts on the Escalera de la Muerte.
That match was absolutely insane. They put on such a good match. Like I said, the Young Bucks died.
Oh my god.
Both of them.
Yep.
They even said on their Twitter, which I don't know if it's true, but they were like, I don't know if I could do another one of these.
I wouldn't. You're getting way more money than you ever have before. You got families and you have like important jobs for this company. I would not do a match like that again, really.
Yeah, they were like, I don't know if we're doing another ladder match after that, because that was a lot.
Yeah, that was a lot. That was terrifying. You're going to do it again. Maybe you got like a couple of more in you, but oh my god.
I love the standoff spots too, where it was like they both had it was like a member of the Lucha Bros or a member of the Bucks had another one. Like they were doing like these spots where they were like, you do it first, I'll do it on your brother. Like, you do it on my brother, I'll do it on your brother. Mm-hmm. Like they were like standing off with like that one spot where I think it was Phoenix and Nick were on ladders on either side of the ring. Mm-hmm. And Pentagon and Matt were on the tables. Yeah. And they were like, you jump, I jump, come on. Like, you won't. And then they both jumped. And it's like, wow, you're really betting your brothers here, huh? Like,
oh, yeah. I don't know. I like the intention of those spots, but for some reason they didn't click quite for me. I was a little less on this match than I think most people were. But those spots didn't really click for me for some reason. I don't know why. I'm still exploring that with my brain. But, yeah, they were cool spots. I was just like, I think what hurt was the spear to the outside. When Pentagon and Matt Jackson did spears to each other's brothers,
you could have easily stopped that. Like you could have saved your tag team partner, but instead you were like, "Fuck it, I'm gonna kill yours instead."
Yeah, I was like, Matt could have stopped Pentagon, then Nick could have super kicked Phoenix, and then like power bombed him through the table,
and completely saved Matt all that trouble of going through a table.
Yeah, like
whatever way it was.
Like if Matt, like, you know, they were like 3-2-1. Pentagon ran to do the spear. Matt Jackson went the other direction, almost like he's setting up a pounce, but instead does a spear. Nick Jackson super kicks, power bombs, bing, bang, boom, you're done. That's why I was like, they're defense, I guess.
Yeah, right?
I don't know. The spots didn't really, you know, do much for me or whatever. But yeah, besides that, I thought, you know, it was a solid match. I gave it 3.5 stars. I was obviously less on it than most people. The service that I use to rank my matches called Grapple, highly recommend that match. This is not an ad. I just highly recommend that app. I gave it 3.5 stars. Apparently, the average rating so far is a 4.43. So I'm obviously less on it than most people. But Mikey, what did you think about it? What do you think? What was your rating?
I gave it a 4. I thought it was really good. I was thoroughly entertained throughout it all, and I thought the spots were pretty crazy, and I was super into it.
Were you sports entertained or just normal entertained?
I was wrestling entertained.
Okay, good. Well, we cannot move on without talking about the debut of Santana and Ortiz. Obviously no longer, probably going to be no longer called LAX. Mm-hmm. The debut of Santana and Ortiz, obviously coming out with presidential masks, then attacking the Lucha Brothers.
Everyone was freaking out about this. I was like, who are these guys?
Yeah, as someone that is as unknown to LAX, Mikey, what is your thoughts on these? These guys were just like, I don't know who they are, but sure.
Yeah, I was like, okay, another tag team in the mix. They needed more of these. Like, hey, they got. I guess they're a big name because a lot of people are recognizing them. So I guess that's cool.
To give some background for you, they are a tag team out of Impact.
Mm-hmm.
Probably was one of their best tag teams for a while. They were in a huge feud with the Lucha Brothers, so much that they had like just amazing matches. They've had amazing matches in PWG, Impact, all over the place, AAW. So they're a huge, amazing tag team. They are someone in the echelon of a Lucha Bros, Young Bucks type, where they do these amazing, crazy spots and stuff. I think you'll love them when you see them. You'll love them. They can now. What they also do is sort of like that deathmatch quality. So if they ever do a tag team of, you know, Darby Allin and Jimmy Havoc, they could do a tag team match together and just kill each other. They did a match in Impact, Santana Ortiz, that was, I forget the name of it, but they did a match where it was, they took the mats off the ring, so it was just, they were wrestling on the wooden floorboards.
Yikes.
Of the wrestling ring. So it was just like, you know, they're just you're doing a powerbomb not onto a mat and a canvas. You're doing a powerbomb onto wooden floorboards.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's all over the place. And they're going to be great. I think honestly, you'll love them. I think you'll eventually love them. Obviously, it looks like they're setting a feud with the Lucha Bros, possibly for a AAA tag team title. To keep that going. I'm so happy to see the Lucha Bros and Young Bucks not to wrestle anymore. I just want to see them gone. I don't want to see that match. I didn't really want to see this match going into it. Maybe that's what hurt it, is I wasn't excited about it because, God, they've wrestled way too many times. But I'm excited to see, moving on, Lucha Bros or someone else, which I haven't watched Impact enough. Maybe I'll still be excited for it, but, they've also wrestled a shit ton of times, so maybe that's not good for Lucha Bros. I don't know. Honestly, can I be frank about the Lucha Bros? Here's a hot take. Since joining AEW, I'm less of a fan, maybe not a fan of the Lucha Bros anymore.
Yikes.
That is a hot take. That's a scalding hot take, probably. I'm, not really a fan of the Lucha Bros right now.
Interesting.
Maybe it's because I'm doing the merit system stuff, and I'm, putting in their numbers and stuff, and it, annoys me. I want to give you this example, Mikey. You know how many tags they make during a match?
90, not a lot, or way too many?
Not a lot. Across three matches, they've made a total of 9 tags. Their first match was 7 tags. Their second match was 0. And their third match was 2. The match against SCU, they made 2 tags. That annoyed me. It annoyed me so much. Whereas you get a team like
Dark Order match, I think there was a lot of tags in that one.
Yeah, you get a team like Dark Order, who, in their match against the Best Friends, made 17 tags.
More than the Lucha Bros have made in 3 matches in 1 match.
It's just like SCU, 8 tags against Jurassic Express and the Strong Hearts. Strong Hearts making the Brotherhood, Cody and Dustin Rhodes, 9 tags. The Lucha Bros are making 2 tags against SCU. It annoys me. It annoys me. They're not a tag team. They're just 2 people put together just because they're brothers. I just want to see them separate at this point. I want to bring in new talent, bring in new tag teams, split up the Lucha Bros. Give me Pac, give me Phoenix. Put them in a match together. Give me Pac and give me Pentagon. Give me anybody against Kenny Omega. Give me Cody versus Pentagon Jr. Give me, I don't know, somebody, anybody else. Chris Jericho versus Pentagon. I don't know. I'm getting peeved.
I can tell.
I'm heated, I guess you could say. But yes, let's move on to the main event, Mikey. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Let's finally talk about the main event so I can calm down. Adam Page, Chris Jericho for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship. Chris Jericho ended up winning the title. He is the first ever inaugural champion. Congrats to Chris Jericho in that regard. Mikey, thoughts on this match? And the result, of course.
I thought for sure it was going to be Hangman the whole time I was watching.
Mm-hmm.
But then after Jericho won, I thought of all the reasons why Jericho won, and it made more sense in my brain.
What were those reasons?
So the reasons are that it's good to put it on someone recognizable for your first title. Get people's eyes there. Get more people's eyes on you.
Especially going into TV.
Especially going into TV, be like, whoa, Chris Jericho's our champion? I know Chris Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they don't really have any crazy heel setup for Hangman to face yet.
Ooh, that's
besides
a great
like
point.
Besides like MJF. Like it's like MJF, Jericho, and like that's it. Maybe like Sammy Guevara, but he's not like he's a heel, but not like in title picture. I don't know.
Pac.
Pac, yeah. Like there's not that many. There's more options for Jericho than there is for Hangman to have matches with.
Yes.
So I thought. So, like, the more I thought about it, the more Jericho made sense. And I've kind of, and after, and during the post show, I kind of came around on Jericho being champion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause that was straight fire. He was spitting back there.
No, yeah.
He just came back with the mic and he was like, "What? No cheering? No confetti? No celebration?" And he was just going down fucking insulting everyone. He saw Brian. I think it was Brian Pillman Jr. He was like, "Who are you? Nice hair, idiot."
It was just perfect. It was the perfect. It's that thing of like, I agree with all your points. It's a great thing to put the title on Chris Jericho. He is the biggest name of the promotion. He's also the biggest, maybe not biggest, but he's also the, you know, a heel in the promotion. If I learned anything from watching Glow on Netflix after season one, at the end of season one, it was like, Allison Brie's character wins the title or something. And then the big face, I should remember these names. I just watched season three. The big face American lady wins the title, and then Welfare Queen Awesome Kong wins it back. And they're like, "Why'd you do that?" And Mark Maron's character is like, "The chase. This is our pilot episode. The chase is what makes it exciting." Mm-hmm. If Adam Page won, it'd be like, "Cool. Where do we go now?"
But part of me also was still like, "Damn, I wish like." I was like, I want this new promotion to have someone like I like. Still, there's still like, even though it makes sense for Jericho, there's still part of me that wanted Hangman because I was like, I want this new promotion to promote their new talent and be like, look, our champion is someone who hasn't been pushed that much and he's pretty good and he's good in the ring, he's good on the mic, and this is our guy, you know.
Mm-hmm. I guess you can also say the argument for not giving the title to Hangman Page is he's got time.
Yeah.
You know,
he's only 27.
He's only 27. He's got lots of time. Plus, to add to your points you made earlier, you only get one inaugural champion. And when you're running the slideshow of who your champions are,
and Chris Jericho is the first one,
you only get one inaugural champion.
Mm-hmm.
Make it Chris Jericho. Just do that. Adam Page will be a great future champion. If you're going to have an inaugural champion, you want it to be someone huge. The inaugural SmackDown Live Women's Champion, Becky Lynch. Yeah. That's a great historical point to say. Inaugural Raw Women's Champion, Charlotte Flair. Great historical point to make. You know, Universal Champion, Finn Balor, good up and comer, but then loses immediately, and then he degrades like that.
that was an injury issue.
Yeah. But he, you know, he has obviously some background. He's obviously world title contention already. But you only got one inaugural champion. You got to give it to Chris Jericho. You got to.
Yeah,
it makes sense. I also would have loved to see Adam Page win, but the chase, right?
He came in on a horse. He did the thing.
That's the problem. He came on the horse, but didn't come out to Lil Nas X rapping.
Somebody actually made an edit.
Really? Oh, please send that my way. I want to check that out.
Somebody made an edit of him coming into Old Town Road.
That's why he lost. Really, is that he got the horse, he didn't get Old Town Road.
It was pretty good too.
The conspiracy theory being that Hangman Page will give you the horse, you're not getting the title. Choose one, sir. I don't know, there's still time to make. I think also Hangman Page isn't like a still, I mean, yeah, you're looking on a nationwide stage, he's still not a huge enough star yet compared to Chris Jericho, who's an international star. Let Adam Page, you know, give him time. He's gonna build up, get him some wins, have a win against Pac. Have him win against Kenny Omega. Have him win against Cody. then have him win against Chris Jericho. He needs to get more big wins to build him up to eventually get the big one.
I agree. He needs those big names on his list of people he's defeated. Because right now he's just not, I guess he's just not over enough, and that's fair.
That's not a bad thing. That's a huge, that's a good thing to have, is that, you know, then moving forward, you have a star you can build up. And they already know. They already know they have a star they can build up. It just takes time. The match itself I thought was good. I thought it was solid. I gave it 3.5 meatballs. I thought, I can't believe Chris Jericho got a spinning back elbow over as a finisher.
The Judas effect.
That theme song, Judas, is a goddamn bop and a half.
Okay. Also, I want to come back to the Earl Hebner thing.
Oh, please. I'm sitting here asking myself, what the hell is Mikey talking about? So, Earl Hebner, what are you talking about?
So, Earl Hebner, Sean Spears got up in his face, and he came back and yelled right at him and got him, backed him into the corner, and got the respect of Sean Spears. In this match, Aubrey Edwards, a.k.a. Girl Hebner, did the same thing with Chris Jericho, and I thought that was a cute moment.
It put her on the same plane as Earl.
Yeah, I thought it was a cool moment that they did that also, like, especially because on all of her social media, she's Girl Hebner. I just thought it was funny. It's not like a crazy big thing that I'm sorry if I hyped it up too much and disappointed you, but
no, you didn't just point. No, that's a great point. It is.
I thought it was a nice parallel.
It comes with the fact that she is the first ever woman referee to officiate a world title match in the main event of a pay-per-view.
And good for her, good for her.
During the match, you get the point where it's like she does like similar spots with that Earl does. It shows like, oh, they're the same. They're on the same playing field. She is enough of a force of a referee to terrify Chris Jericho. You know, that's a great point. That's a great point to make. Plus, she's officially signed full time for AEW, so I'm excited to see her more. It's amazing how many people that have been wrestling haven't officially signed with AEW. Like hearing that, like, she's now officially a referee for AEW is like, what? She's been officiating so many matches. How is she not officially signed? Apparently, the legend. I'm not certain about this, of course, but according to @LuchaBlog on Twitter, the Lucha Underground contracts apparently ended in August. It's now September, so apparently all those Lucha Underground guys are free agents. You know, Angelico, Evans, Pentagon, Phoenix, Joey Ryan, but he wants to stay in independence. Evilise, you know, I guess all these people are now up for grabs, which is cool. So maybe we'll see something out of that. I don't know. I guess I'm excited. I'm excited to see where we go. What was your match rating on this, Mikey?
My match rating on this was a 3.5. I thought it was pretty good. There were some points where it was slow and like a little bit. I was a little bit bored, but
yeah.
It got that nice explosive ending. Also, somebody pointed out that the story of Jericho kind of like waiting for his spot where he could get, because Hangman did that spinning elbow or that spinning punch like a couple of times in the match.
Yeah,
it worked once and he kept going back to it, and then he went back to it again and Jericho basically like had the hard read on it.
Yeah,
and caught him instead. So I thought that was cool. Yeah. He was resilient, and then he picked his spot to get the win. And I thought that was very Chris Jericho.
Yeah, it shows that he's a Adam Page has more to learn, and Chris Jericho is a great wrestler. He's, you know, he's someone that knows his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That is all for our review of All Out, Mikey. Great show, great review. Are you excited for TV? I guess that's
the
question.
I'm very excited for TV. I am upset I have to wait an entire month for it, but I am very excited for TV.
Yeah, we got
today. It's literally a month.
Really? Oh, I didn't. Oh, yeah, you're right, because it's September 2nd.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're 1 month away officially by the time of this recording till TV. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what they do. I'm worried in the production aspect, which we've talked about.
Mm-hmm. I think they really need to iron that out and really have like a big talk about it in this month that they have before TV.
So I guess also another thing I want to ask real quickly before we go. TV, of course, what are our first matches heading into TV? We got Riho versus Nyla Rose for the AEW Women's Championship. Jon Moxley will be appearing. We'll be talking live. I believe he's in action. I got to look up that thing. And we got that six-man tag, the Elite, taking on Chris Jericho and two partners of his choosing.
Yeah.
Do you have any guess of who those two partners are, Mikey?
Of Chris Jericho's partners?
Yes.
I have no idea. Honestly, it's going to be... I'm excited for the reveal, though.
Yeah, I thinking about it, I'm just sitting here like, I don't know. Maybe I would have...
It's probably going to be two... It's got to be two new people, right, to AEW?
I would think. You know, people thought it would be LAX, but obviously it looks like they're maybe going after Lucha Bros.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe not LAX. It still could be them. But yeah. They did attack the Young Bucks. But it's just like my pick has always been the Dark Order.
Yeah, that could be interesting.
My pick has always been the Dark Order, you know.
Especially since he dressed up as them.
Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about it. It's Jon Moxley appears live, Cody Rhodes versus Sammy Guevara, Nyla Rose versus Riho, Young Bucks Kenny Omega versus Chris Jericho, and two mystery partners. Then the next week, October 9th, Jon Moxley versus Shawn Spears, and the Young Bucks versus Private Party in an AEW Tag Team Titles tournament match. Then you got October 16th.
It really feels like the Young Bucks are going to win that one, huh?
I don't know. I could see them putting over Private Party, especially if, you know, they get in a feud with whoever these two mystery partners are. Then those two mystery partners could maybe cause a muck in that Young Bucks match and Private Party wins.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, that's very much an WWE thing. But then in Philadelphia, you get that first ever AEW world title defense, Chris Jericho versus someone whom I believe is to be Cody.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's all of the matches so far announced as we heading into TV. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what happens. I can't wait. I can't wait for it.
Yeah, it's going to be really exciting.
Okay, that is it for this episode of our reviewing of All Out. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this show. If you want more, you can hit subscribe and listen to our actual flagship show, Hit the Books, where Mikey and I fantasy book a realistic version of SmackDown Live. You know, we have the matches, we have the storylines, we have the roster, we have all that stuff, and we want to make it as realistic as possible. That's why we talk about all the story points, because it's important. It's important to tell a story. So we want to make sure we do it properly. We do the WWE way, which is a lot of times random. The dreaded randomizer. You can also follow us for more content at Hit the Books Pod on Twitter. We still have a contest going on, and that contest is if you go to Twitter, go to at Hit the Books Pod, go to the pinned tweet. If you retweet and like and follow us, that pinned tweet, then you could potentially win a first ever made Hit the Books t-shirt but the second drawing will win a sticker, a Hit the Books logo sticker. So please follow us on Twitter at Hit the Books Pod, retweet and like that pinned tweet, and you are on your way to potentially winning those two or one of those two prizes.
Yeah.
You can also go to YouTube and subscribe to YouTube and get more content like this. Of course, we've got the reviews, got the system check. Eventually, Mikey's Indy 500, potentially on YouTube. Still not sure where exactly it's going. We got time, but Mikey's Indy 500. If you got any ideas about independent matches for Mikey Manfredi to watch,
please tweet them at me or at Hit the Books Pod with the hashtag HTB500. I would love to hear all of your matches.
I'm sure there's lots of Kyle Ray matches that he would love to watch, so please tweet them. Or even LAX. Perfect. Tweet at him a bunch of LAX matches. for him, Mikey, to watch. So please do that. Again, hashtag HTB500. Follow us at Hit the Books Pod. That is it for this episode of a review. Of course, tomorrow, potentially, if I edit this in time, tomorrow will be our flagship show, Hit the Books. So join us there, why don't you? Hit a subscribe, hit the bell, be notified, all those things. Until next time, I am for Mikey. I am Ryan. We'll see you next time. Have a nice day.
Hold one. Arm drag.
Don't tell me.
You are going on one with The Undertaker!